finger. And do what now? Hang in there, miss. I didn't think we'd been over this one. But the word of the Lord came to me and said, "Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir." And Mount Seir, just another name for Edom. And you know how the Edomites treated the children of Israel. And God, he hadn't forgot that. He said, "Set your face against Mount Seir, prophesy against it and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolate waste. I will turn your town into ruins, and you will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Is he upset with them? Angry? Gonna, you know, paybacks are rough. And they thought for all this time that they had been exempt from the wrath of God, that they got away with all the things that they were doing. And they really thought they were right. And so just think now that just because he calls them Mount Seir or calls them Edom, he's talking about all the 12 tribes of Israel here and the things that are happening to the native people that were there when they came in and possessed the promised land and what he was doing in their hearts and their lives. And here he's going to wipe them out. But in a few minutes when we get over in chapter 36 over there, we'll find out over there that God himself is going to restore Israel back to their homeland. Verse 5 says, "Because you harbored an ancient hostility and delivered the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity, the time their punishment reached its climax. Therefore, surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will give you over to bloodshed, and it will pursue you. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a desolate waste, and I'll cut off from it all who come and go. I will fill your mountains with the slain. Those killed by the sword will fall on your hills and in your valleys and in all of your ravines. I will make you a desolate forever. Your towns will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord." How many times we heard him say the purpose behind what he was doing so the people would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the Lord. I imagine these Edomites and other nations over the period of time that they've been dealing with the children of Israel, and they went in and took the land and done the things that they've done through that, that they have a pretty cocky source, you know, thinking, you know, that they have outsmarted God, so to speak, and have, in their own ability, been very ugly, very mean to God's people, and got away with it. And but now, you know, we've talked about 70 years is up. God's going to return his children back to Jerusalem, and the things that's going to happen, a remnant from this way and a remnant from that way, and stuff. He's going to gather them all back together. But here, these folks in these towns and villages round about, they're fixing to find out just what it's like for the wrath of God to come down upon them. He said, because you love bloodshed, just wait and see what I'm going to show you is bloodshed. And he said, I'm going to cut you off from the mountains. I'm going to cut you off from the paths that you go and come on. He said, I'm going to fill your mountain with the slain, every gully and valley. That he said, then you'll know that I am the Lord. Verse 10. Because you have said these two nations and countries will be ours, and we will take possessions of them, even though I, the Lord, was there. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will treat you in accordance with the anger and jealousy that you have shown in your hatred of them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard all the contemptible things that you have said against the mountains of Israel. You said they've been laid waste and have been given over to us to devour. You boasted against me and spoke against me without restraint, and I heard it. This is what the sovereign Lord says. While the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate. Because you rejoiced when your inheritance of the house of Israel became desolate, that is how I will treat you. You will be desolate, O Mount Seir, you and all of Edom. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And so all he's saying here is that because you acted in the manner that you acted and done the things that you did in the manner that you did them, when you saw my raft on the children of Israel, the Jews, and sending them down to Babylon for the 70-year reign down there, they took credit for what God was doing. All God did in allowing the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and what was that, the Persians. All God did was use them to put his raft on the children of Israel for the punishment of their rejection of him and allowed these Babylonian armies to come in and take over the city and total off the spoils. And they made three trips back to get everything that they could get and all the healthy people, all the good animals, and left behind the lame, the crippled, the blind, the halt, the old and the very young and stuff. And all of them was just hopped up. I mean, they were tickled to death. Look what we've done. They didn't realize they did nothing. Who had done this? God did. All he did was use them to do what he wanted to accomplish so that all the world would know that I am the God. And because of that, and they rejoiced and celebrated, you know, every time they'd win one of these victories or take over one of these possessions and stuff, you know, and they'd give themselves the kings and stuff, one of these nations. He said, I'm fixing to show y'all something. And he told what kind of doom, gloom, and despair is awaiting them. Now look in chapter 36. It said here, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Preach to them. Tell them. Share with them what he's about to tell them. Prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. So all he's fixing to do is tell Ezekiel to tell Israel they'd be returned to a nation of people again. They'll get to go back to their city. He said, the enemy said is of you, the ancient heights have become our possessions. Therefore, prophesy and say, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Because they ravished and hounded you from every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations and the object of people's malicious talk and slander. Therefore, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord, your sovereign God. He's fixing to restore them because they've been treated like dirt. These other nations, these other cities and places, even the places of refuge where they ran, hid down in Egypt or wherever, the slanderous talk, the malicious things that they did to them. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and valleys, to the desolate ruins and to the deserted towns that have been plundered and ridiculed by the rest of the nations around you. See, God's identifying here all those different things that they have done here in their hearts and their lives. This is what the sovereign Lord says. In my burning zeal, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all of Edom. For with thee, with glee, and with malice in their hearts, they made my land their own possession, so that they might plunder its pasture lands. They just took over everything. That which God had given to the children of Israel, he set the boundaries on that and stuff. They came in, plundered it, got all the best of the best, took over the lands and stuff. He said here, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I speak in my jealous wrath because you have suffered the scorn of the nation. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Now, this is God saying this, okay? The sovereign Lord said, I swear with uplifted hands that the nations around you will also suffer scorn. I know they've mistreated you. They have ridiculed you. They have treated you with malice and scorn and stuff. But he said, I'll get them. I'm going to take care of them, you know. And there's a lot of people today think they are who they are by their own self-gain. You know, you mention the Lord to them, it'll surprise you the kind of answers they'll give you back and stuff and things. But don't think God ain't taking account and knows what's going on in their hearts and their lives. And their hearts. He said, I swear with uplifted hands that the nations around you also are going to suffer scorn. Just what they put you through, you're going to be a drop in the bucket what God's going to put them through. Verse 8, but you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel. For they will soon come home. You hear that? But you, O mountain of Israel, all the towns and villages and the promised land that God had given to the children of Israel, he said they'll produce branches. And from those branches will come fruit for my people Israel. For they will soon come home. God's going to begin to restore them. They're going to repopulate and be productive again in their hearts and their lives. Verse 9 said, I am concerned for you, and I will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I'll multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited. The ruins will be rebuilt. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the pasture, as in the past, and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance, and you will never again deprive them of their children. God, as much as he allowed his wrath to work against them, he's going to let his grace increase them. And they have the promise of them that they families will come back, they'll grow their crops, their animals, their fruit, their whatever. God's going to bless it. He's going to honor it. He's going to allow them to be productive again and get gain in their hearts and their lives. What's going to happen according to the New Testament? Now, don't sit there and look at me like I'm... So, you believe he's coming back again? When he comes back, where he's coming back to? Jerusalem, that's right. And I believe his brother Ernie mentioned one time they poured that concrete wall through there, you know, but that's going to be like breaking the snap of a toothpick, you know. Yeah. Waiting on his return. And he's coming back. And he's coming back for who? His people. Yep. And we get over in Daniel in a few weeks and get studying over there. It's awesome what he has for them and their hearts and their lives. 13 said, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because people say to you that you devour men and deprive your nations of its children. Therefore, you will no longer devour men or make your nations childless, declares the Sovereign Lord. No longer will I make you hear the taunts of the nation. No longer will you suffer the scorn of the people or cause your nations to fall, declares the Sovereign Lord. God promises them, not only is he going to restore them, he's going to bless them, and they're going to become a mighty nation again. They'll gain the respect of the world again. And all them Iranians, Iraqis, and all that other stuff has tormented them day and night. They got something coming at them. All right. Verse 16 says, again, the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and by their actions. See, he's saying, when the people of Israel, it's you, his chosen people, they chose to defile. They chose some bad conduct. They chose some bad actions. Their conduct was like a woman's monthly uncleanness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered throughout the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. And it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they have had to leave his land. and their heart and their life and the things that they is doing. Even though they did all these things against, why did God put up with that? What's he doing? All through this time here when they were treated, he had to protect his name, that he was a sovereign God. What did old Nebuchadnezzar think? What did Pharaoh think? What did Persian kings and stuff? They thought they were the God, and things that they were doing in their hearts and their lives concerning this. And so verse 21 said, I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Why did God want to protect his holy name? Why did he want to protect his reputation among all those nations of the world? My little footnote here said God was concerned about the salvation, not only of his people, but also of the whole world. To allow his people to remain in sin and be permanently destroyed by their enemies would lead other nations to conclude that their pagan gods were more powerful than Israel's God. Thus, to protect his holy name, God would return a remnant of his people to their land. God would not share his glory with false gods. God alone is the one true God. And a lot of people today have made other people, other things, their God instead of the one true God. Look at verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy people, which you have profaned among the nations, where you have gone. When you went down to Egypt, what did they do? They did as the Egyptians. When they went to Babylon, they did as the Babylonians. When they went to wherever they went, you know, what did God tell Moses to tell the people when they went in to possess the land? What were they supposed to do? Wipe them all out, wasn't it? But what did they do? Whoo, them two pretty women to wipe them all out, you know. He strictly forbid them to do what? Marry. What did they do? You know, it seemed like everything God told them don't, that's what they did. And it's kind of like a child sometimes, you know. And the more you say don't, the more they dare you, you know. They try you till you pop that hand or they touch that hot pot. And then they realize what you were trying to do for them and their heart and their life. He said, therefore say to the house of Israel in 22, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned amongst the nations where you've gone. I'll show you the holiness of my name, which has been profaned among the nations. The names that you have profaned among them, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, the sovereign God, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. One of these days he's going to show himself to this whole world. When that shout goes and that trumpet sounds and that grave roll over and the dead in Christ come forth, and we're called up to meet him in the air, what will the world know then? May take them a while to figure it out. They're going, most of them are going to realize, we got left behind. Verse 24 said, for I will take you out of the nations I will gather you from all the countries, and I'll bring you back into your own land. There again, he promised them, told them a while ago, I'm going to bring you home. Telling them, I'll bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean. That's some of that Methodist stuff, ain't it? Sprinkling. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I want some of that sprinkled water if it's going to clean me out. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. What a promise. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. You'll live in the land I gave your forefathers. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruits of the trees, the crops of the fields, so that you'll no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. God's going to provide their fruits of their later labor is going to be great, and they'll no longer go hungry. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourself for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day that I cleanse you from all of your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate people will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. They will say, this land was laid waste and has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruin, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. When the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I, the Lord, will do it. Pretty plain English, it didn't beat around the bush about it, did he? And what he's saying there and what's happening. Now, I believe, so it's Larry Hubbard thinking, that what he's describing here is back in the beginning when he created the garden, you know? What's your vision of that garden? A beautiful, perfect place, that's right, you know. And he had it for himself, but he needed companionship, so he made man. He realized what he'd done to man, made woman. We don't know how long that cycle was, that they were together, just them and God. Was it a day, a week, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years? What? We don't know. It don't matter. What matters is that one day, finally, after that old serpent tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, what do we call it? Nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged, you know? Till what? We got it, you know? And I got tickled. Yeah. We was up in them mountains up there, And one evening, the boys wanted to eat a bison burger. So we went to this place that was famous for that, you know. The table next to us there was a lady, and on one side, a lady on the other side, and they had a little girl there with her. And that little girl kept wanting to get things out of the salt shaker and this pepper and stuff, just being a child, you know, a little bitty child. You know. Mom kept saying, "Oh, quit. You can't have that. No, no, no." Directly, she was trying to talk to this other woman that's trying to carry on the conversation. Yeah, she just give it to her. What'd she do? She nagged till she got it, that's right. And got what she wanted. And
I wonder if she liked the pepper.
I don't know, but I'm gonna leave it alone right there because I'm digging myself a hole, so I'm gonna just be quiet. I, the Lord, have done it, and I, the Lord, will do it. 37 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to the plea of the house of Israel, and I will do this for them. For I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks for offerings at Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am God. And God said, if the people ask, he said, I will do it. Once again, I'll yield to the plea of the house of Israel, and I'll do this for them. We can't just expect God to bail us out. What do we got to do? We got to ask him, haven't we? And just think about it. What did he offer them a while ago? I'll give you a new what? Heart. What kind of spirit did he say he'd give them? Clean spirit, you know? You're going to wipe all that stuff away? In our hearts and our lives. As much as he did it for them, as primitive as things was in that day and time, and as advanced as America is today, just imagine what God's going to do to this whole world. Those that love him and those that have rejected him in their hearts and their lives. Any question about this? Anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. You do good.
He's telling just like it is.
Yeah. He ain't cutting no corners.
But he has been for chapters and chapters and chapters.
That's right. Generation to generation to generation. And yeah. See, there, I got rid of him now. Y'all follow me. He's going to proclaim himself a self-made God, I believe.
And he still loves his people today.
He does. I think that's the only thing holding him back is desiring them to do better. Just one more soul come to know him and be worth the wait, you know. Those thoughts. Anything else before we dismiss? Well, I forgot to mention it in the beginning, but I got a call this afternoon that Charlie Havard, not my brother, but Charlie Havard, one of Freddie's boys, passed away about lunch today. And his son, Edmund, is married to Ronald Childress's daughter, that's a CPA down at the end of town down there. So remember them. And Moments was putting somebody in Mercy Church over there when I left coming up here this afternoon. I hadn't heard anybody pass. There's somebody is putting there. Who else? Just a lot of deaths, ain't it? A lot of things going on.
Obama.
Oh,
he's going to prison.
Yeah. I just wonder, with all these stars that's been dying lately and all the hoopla they make about them and what a wonderful person they was and how much they done for the world around about us today, you know. When the Lord does come back, what's the 6 o'clock news going to say then, you know?
I don't know.
Put it on them. I hear you. Brian dismisses, brother.